people in our lives that helped us along the way. They've been stepping stones to what we become today. It may be parents, it might be friends, it might have been a teacher, might have been a coach, might have been a doctor, might have been a neighbor. But every one of us should never forget that we have a tremendous debt of gratitude that we owe to others and certainly to God. If someone were to ask you the question, would you like to enjoy your life more? What would you say? If you think about your own life, wouldn't it be great if you could get more enjoyment than you've been experiencing? There are many things, and we're going to talk about this the next 2 weeks. There are many things that tend to be a joy drain on our life. They just tend to suck the life right out of us. It might be worries, it might be anxieties, it might be difficulties, it might be bad circumstances. And I want to talk with you the next couple of weeks about how you can enjoy your life in some ways, irrespective of what's going on in the world around you. Now, when someone says to you, would you like to enjoy your life more? Most people say, yes, I would. But the question is how? For some people, it's ecstasy. For some people, it's a party. For some people, it's more sex. For some people, it's more money. But the real question that we want to find an answer to is, how do I enjoy my life more than I presently am? So there's a few things that I want to go over here with you. It's kind of a little questionnaire, an evaluation. The question is, are most Americans really enjoying life? We're going to evaluate this for just a moment, so bear with me. Most people are making more money than ever before. You know, I was reflecting with my wife today. We spent a little time together, had a little date this morning, and just went, hung out for a while. And as we were walking, I said, you know, Kathy, I said, you realize that the home that you and I live in is far nicer than my parents were ever able to live in. We have more amenities than my parents ever enjoyed. Not only that, but I said, do you realize, Kathy, that at this point in our life right now, we're able to save as much money a year as I used to make in a year shortly after we were married. Now, part of the reason is because it just kept my expenses so low. But if you look around the world that you and I live in, all the data is in, the research is in, Americans are making more money, even factoring in inflation, than at any other time in our nation's history. We enjoy a standard of living that's beyond what many of our parents and relatives could even dream of, even 20 years ago. Most people are driving nicer cars than ever before. As I was driving here tonight and my back window was fogged up, I just turned the rear window defogger on. We take this technology for granted. But when I was first married, there was no rear window defogger except in the most expensive Cadillac. And when I was first married, Lexus were not yet introduced to this country. The Infiniti was not yet introduced. The Acura was not yet introduced. The Jaguar, there was a few of them. You think about all the amenities people enjoy in their cars. You don't remember this, some of you, but it used to be when I first started driving, all there were carburetors. All you could expect from your car was approximately 100,000 miles. Now a car with 100,000 miles will easily sell, depending on the condition, anywhere from $3,000 to $8,000. How do I know? Because I look every single weekend through almost every car section of the papers. Just a hobby. Just always keep my finger on the pulse. The cars will easily go, many of them, another 100,000 miles because of technology, because of fuel injection. We have heated seats, heated steering wheels, three-way adjustable front seat. You don't have to get out to open your trunk. You can just lift a little lever if someone wants to put something in. I realize some of you are too young to know there was anything ever any different. Believe me, it was a lot worse. Most people are living in nicer houses and apartments than they grew up in. Now, I realize that in a crowd like this, many of you have not yet hit your career stride and your financial stride. So the house you may be sharing with a few friends may not be up to what you left when you graduated from high school. But for some of you it is. And some of us, just the technological advances that we have in our homes are amazing. Most people enjoy amenities and creature comforts more than ever before. Whether it's soft water, you know, you talk about something that shocked me. 2 months ago, I got my water bill. So I was comparing my water bill to the month before. Now I'm the kind of person I like bottled water. So I look at the water bill, and there's exactly 1,000 gallons less used that month than the time before. 1,000 gallons. Do you know what the difference in my bill was? $3. $3 for 1,000 gallons of water. Next time you go pay 79 cents for 20 fluid ounces, just realize how much you're getting ripped off. What with $3, how many gallons of water would you get you at Cub? The Cub cheapy water, the cheapy water with their label. It's 95 cents a gallon last time I checked, 3 gallons. Did you know there's only a handful of countries in the world where you can get fresh, hot, cold, running water anytime you want it and know it's absolutely 100% safe? I have friends here tonight from Honduras. You know, I can't even drink the water when I go to Honduras. There's amoebas and parasites all throughout the water. And if you didn't grow up used to it, you will get sicker than you ever imagined you could be sick. And things will come out of your body you never dreamed could come out of your body. I think about these Craftmatic beds people have. You know, you've got this television set that's just, it's flat and it's across the room and surround sound. And people just think that's just normal. I remember when I was 11, we got our first black and white Motorola. Get 3 channels barely. And I watched the Cisco Kid and the Lone Ranger and I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver on the 3 different channels. Most people eat extraordinarily well. Now, I don't know if you ever go grocery shopping. I go grocery shopping every week. And I'm up and down the aisles and it's unbelievable the choices that we have. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as clementines. You know what the little clementines are? Those little things? Well, they're better than oranges. I buy like 3 boxes a week. That's because at Sam's Club, they're $2 a box cheaper than the other stores. And I must snarf 5, 6 of those a day. I probably eat 3 apples a day. You ever had a Honeycrisp apple? When I was a kid, there was only Red Delicious and the Mushy Apple. I'm serious. I'm not that old. There was Red Delicious and the mushy kind. I didn't like the mushy kind, so I ate the Red Delicious. Then I discovered Braeburn, and then somebody put me on the Honeycrisp this winter, and I couldn't get enough of them. I was like eating 4 a day. We can get grapes. We can get, I saw the other day, Sam's Club, mushrooms available to the public bigger than my fist. I was stunned. I don't like mushrooms. But I was stunned. I'd never seen one that big. The fresh salmon for $3.77 a pound. Usually a cub at $6.99. I can get my favorite Cuban black beans and rice. I can go to this store and get my favorite chicken marinade. Drew's Rosemary Balsamic Vinaigrette. It's incredible on chicken on the grill. It's amazing. When I was a kid, you couldn't get chicken cut up, sent to the butcher, then you had the bone. Now all I buy every week is white chicken, boneless, skinless, in a frozen bag. It's unbelievable. We have choices that the kings and queens and royalty never had before us. Every single week. So the question is, when you look at all of these things that you and I have, that we enjoy, my goodness, if we're a little cold, we just walk over and turn the heat up. Or for some, you got a remote control, you just do this. You want some soft music, you just do that. You don't have to turn a knob anymore. What is the reality? Are Americans really enjoying life more? Here's the reality. People today are more stressed than ever before. And I'm not talking about after September 11th, but obviously after September 11th, the stress level has gone up in people's lives. So many people are afraid. As shown by the fact, by our completely illogical behavior of being afraid to fly. Did you know? Last year, there were 40,000 people killed in automobile accidents. That is 10 times approximately what died September 11th. And yet, Thanksgiving, we loaded in our cars. Plane prices are lower than they've ever been. We're afraid. We're stressed out. We're worried. And we're concerned about all the things that we can't control. The divorce rate is higher than it's ever been. You would think, with all of the wonderful comforts that people have, all the wonderful things they can enjoy, they can go to movies together, they can have videos in their home, they have marvelous bedrooms. I mean, the bedroom that we have is so much nicer than what my parents ever had. And you would think that, man, couples ought to just be getting along, making that mortgage payment, making that car payment. You got a fairly good job. And yet we're just walking out on each other all the time. And as a result, the kids are stressed out as well. People are more stressed as they slave away to buy more things that they think will make them happy. Think about all the things that people think they've got to have. And they go after this, and they go after that, and they go after this. For me, I'll be honest with you, Christmas is always the hardest time of year for me. So hard for me. Not because I don't enjoy the holidays. I love being with my family. I love being with my friends. What I can't stand is the craziness. What I can't stand is the people. And you've been in this situation. They go out and buy these gifts only to give to people that they can't even stand to be in the same room with. They don't get along the rest of the year. They backbite, slander, gossip each other. But on Christmas Day, we fake a smile. We put it on the credit card. We go into debt. We hate the fact we're giving them a gift. And then we walk away. And I think the hypocrisy of it is unbearable to me. Did you know that in the next 30 to 40 days, many businesses, 50 to 70% of their business is done those 40 days. We're the greatest consumer nation that there has ever been in the history of the world. We consume, we consume, we consume. We're almost like a human cancer. We just eat whatever's around us. Just grab that, and give me that, and I want that. There's nothing wrong, by the way, with having things. Nothing wrong with having a car, nothing wrong with having a coat or coats. Nothing wrong with having a boombox or a CD player or HD TV, whatever it's called. People are more in debt now than ever. We're the greatest debtor nation, as I said a few moments ago. Not only a consumer nation, but a debtor nation. So many people. See, you know what happens to Americans? They get in a position where they really believe their reality. Many people believe, oh man, I can just barely make it. I can just barely make it. I'm just going check, hand them out, hand them out, hand them out. Do you know why? Because most Americans do not live below their stream of income. They live right at it. Whatever they want, they just put in a card. They don't say no to themselves. And consequently, as Proverbs says, the borrower becomes the lender's slave. And you feel enslaved and you feel the chafing of the bit and bridle in your mouth. And you know, man, I got to keep working. I got to keep working just to pay for this and pay for that and keep paying. The card comes due and the interest comes due. And it gives you stomachache. People are meaner and less civil than ever before. The incidents of road rage are unbelievable. Now, we've had a brief respite. I know, just a brief pause. After September 11th, and all of a sudden, it seems to have been an elixir to our society, almost like a medicine, where people are beginning to, you know, hug a little longer, say, I love you more often. But the chances are very, very good, and many retailers are already seeing this, that the civility has gone back to where it was. People complain and grumble more than ever before. I have a habit. I get up every day. I go to Super America first thing in the morning after I get showered and cleaned up. And I get my wife her favorite cup of coffee, and I get my USA Today. And I go to the same Super America. And probably every other day I fill up one of the cars, whether it's the van or my little car or one of the kids' cars. And there's an older lady that works there, and I've been building relationships with some of the young people that are there and this older lady. And one day she said to me, she said, I have a question. She said, how is it that at 5:15, 5:30, you were so pleasant? Every morning you come in here, you're fresh, you're smiling. You're the only person like that at this time in the morning. And I said, you know, I can be a grouch too. I said, you know, I just have a lot to be thankful for. I just have a really good life. And I'm just eager to get up and get each day started. And she goes, you know what? Just for your smile every morning, your coffee's free every morning. It's free. I guess it pays to be kind and civil. It saves me about $30 a month. So I'm practicing smiling a lot more. But you know, I mean, one morning I was standing, this was early in the morning, I'm standing behind this lady. And you know, these poor people, they've been there all night. They're just trying to make a living. They're just trying to take care of themselves. And this lady goes off, yeah, what the blankety blank. Boy, when the gas price goes up, it just shoots right up, but you bring it down just a little bit at a time. Huh? What's your problem? You're trying to take us? And I'm thinking, lady, this kid's 19 years old. He doesn't own the place. He's just doing what he's told. Get a life! Get out of here! You know, another lady, you know, there's a little sign on the gas tank. It says, turn car off before filling your tank. She's supposed to do that. Now, a lot of us don't in the really cold winter, and they let you go in the really cold winter, but in the summer. So one summer, I'm in there early in the morning. And this lady's standing out. And you know, she's going ding. She's pushing the button. You know, it goes ding, ding in the station each time to remind the person to clear the pump so you can pump. Person wasn't clearing it. So finally, she comes storming in. What the blank are you doing? It's kind of cold out there, and I've been standing out there, and you're not clearing the pump. Well, ma'am, you need to turn your car off. I'm sorry. What the blank you mean I need to turn my car off? I've never turned my car off before. And I'm going to go, lady, just get a life. This is a kid. This young lady got, I happen to know her. Last night, she got held up at gunpoint. Get a life. Just go turn your car off. Get off her back. I didn't say any of that. That's going on in my mind. See. And of course, you know, I've been guilty of grumbling myself. People seem to always be wishing for something different than what they have. The reality, here's the reality. Even though our quality of comfort is up, our quality of life is down. Our quality of comfort is off the charts. But our quality of life is plummeted. And what I want to do tonight is just briefly give you three simple ways that you can greatly increase your quality of life. See, we're caught, there's this like this vicious cycle. And unless we break out of it, we're going to keep on this treadmill and we're going to find that the things I really wanted, they're not making me happy. I've known so many young people, you could talk about love. In those first euphoric months, it's so exhilarating. And then they find out, just like you get out of college, the job isn't nearly exciting as you dreamed it to be. A relationship is hard work. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's okay. It's a little bit like the three bears. Sometimes the porridge is cold. Sometimes it's just right. Sometimes it's way too hot. And all of a sudden a person goes, well, you know, geez, I know it's going to take this kind of commitment. You see, here's something very important you need to understand. The world tells us that more is more. More is more. We're a society that wants more of everything. We want straight teeth. We want more body parts, bigger body parts, flatter body parts, sexier body parts. Today, money can buy you literally almost anything you want. You can get implants in your rear end. Did you know that? You can get implants in your calf. You can get implants in your teeth. You can have your face rearranged. All you got to do is pay the money for it. Pay the money for it. And so there's this constant bombardment that more is more. More really is more. If you have more and more, well, you see, it's not true. It's not true at all. In fact, it enslaves you. And it drains you. It drains the joy right out of your life. You see, we've got to be willing to embrace the truth. The Bible tells us how we can enjoy life to the fullest possible measure. It really does. God, believe it or not, is concerned about your life. He's concerned about your joy. He's concerned that you get the most possible out of life. And He knows how to help you get it. The first, be content with what you have. I want to read to you a couple passages in the Bible that over the years have just really gripped my own heart personally. I find them quite striking. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Those who love money will never have enough. How absurd to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. Isn't that interesting? Well, all of a sudden, you get more solicitors calling you. Somehow they find out that you came into some more money. All of a sudden, you've got all the purveyors of whatever at the malls, at the catalogs, and etc. And they start coming in your mail, and they want to help you spend your money. They have something you need in your life. Didn't need it before, but now that you got the money, well, it's a need. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what is the advantage of wealth, except perhaps to watch it run through your fingers? There's another serious problem I've seen in the world. Riches are sometimes hoarded to the harm of the saver, or they are put into risky investments that turn sour, and everything is lost. In the end, there's nothing left to pass on to your children. People who live only for wealth come to the end of their life as naked and empty-handed as on the day they were born. This, too, is a very serious problem. As people come into this world, so they depart. All their hard work is for nothing. They've been working for the wind, and everything will be swept away throughout their lives. They live under a cloud, frustrated, discouraged, and angry. Even so, I have noticed one thing at least that is good. It is good for people to eat, drink a good glass of wine, and enjoy their work. Whatever they do under the sun, for however long God lets them live. And it is a good thing to receive whatever God gives you, and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work, and accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God. People who do this rarely look with sorrow on their past, for God has given them reason for joy. All people spend their lives scratching for food, but they never seem to have enough. Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless. It is like chasing the wind. Does that not speak to where you and I live today? Does that not resonate to our society today? Everything on television is designed to do one thing. Did you know this? It's designed. Those of you that are marketing majors in this room, you know this for a fact. Commercials are not intended to inform you. They're intended to entice and bring about a level of discontentment in your life. Enough so that after the constant bombardment of them, you begin to see life differently, and you realize that if you're tired of hearing, then all you need is Sprint, PCS, and your life will be revolutionized. Geez, you know, I'm 45 and I'm doing fine without a cell phone. There's nothing against cell phones. I'm really glad I can get a hold of my kids whenever I want them. It's a beautiful thing. But there's pay phones. Every time I've ever needed a phone, there's a phone. All of a sudden, what used to be a luxury for the rich is now an expectation of the commoner. And we want it. And we dream, don't we? We dream about, oh, you know, well, if my girlfriend had this kind of body, if my wife had this, if my boyfriend had this, if my job was like that, if my body was like this, if my hair was not gray, if my teeth were not turning yellow. And it goes on and on and on. And so we're unable to never to live in the present with real joy, because in the back of our mind, there's the cloud of discontent and frustration hanging over our life. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 says this, "True religion and godliness with contentment is great wealth. After all, we didn't bring anything with us when we came into the world. We certainly can't carry anything with us when we die. So if we have enough food and clothing, let's be content with that. But people who long for more fall into a temptation and a trap by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people, craving what it can get them, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." You see, again, that just goes so against the grain of our society. I have relatives. And their God is money. They live for what they can get. When we get around Kathy's mother, bless her heart, all that comes out of her mouth, and I am not exaggerating, for hours upon hours upon hours, because no one else really gets to talk, she describes in great detail all the things she's gotten or that she's getting. And that has been the case for 22 years that I have known her. I can't even grasp it. It's the hot tub. It's the new addition. It's the vacation where we're going. It's the new hair that I've got. It's this. It's that. And it goes on and on and on. Many of my relatives were divorced because of money issues. Money issues. It's left so many people broken. Let me just read you the words here of Jesus in Luke chapter 12. Someone called out to the crowd, "Jesus, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as this?" Then he said, and I've underlined this in my Bible because I go over these things, "Beware, don't be greedy for what you don't have. Real life is not measured by how much you own." It's not measured by how much you own. That's hard for us to grasp, isn't it? I recently had two dear friends over to my home again from Honduras. And I see them frequently. And when I travel there, we labor together. And my friend, one of them's name is Carlos, and he was recently helping rebuild homes after Hurricane Mitch hit in Honduras. The devastation was unbelievable. I went there 1 week after the hurricane hit. Never seen anything like it. Thousands of people buried in mud. And where I was walking, you couldn't help it, where we had to go and they took me, there were people and cars and things buried way under where we were walking. My friend Carlos helped Samaritan's Purse. He worked for them, rebuilding homes in them, which is Franklin Graham's organization. And they built like 7,000 homes. He oversaw the whole project. They loved him so much that they wanted him to go work for them in India. He said to me, "Mark," he said, "you know, I thought I'd seen poverty. I'm telling you, Honduras is very poor. It's the poorest of the Latin American countries." He said, "Mark, I've seen poverty every day in my life." He said, "so they sent me to India. There's 1 billion people living in India. 1 billion. That's almost 5 times the United States. We're a small town compared to India." He said, "Mark, I have never in my life seen anything like," he said, "the nicest motel I stayed in Bombay, the nicest was a shack He said, you know, Mark, they never wash any dishes. You go to the restaurants, they never wash anything. People are getting sick all the time. They take a damp, they take this cloth. Water is very scarce. And they take it and they just wipe the silverware with the same cloth for person after person in the restaurant. He said, Mark, it's unbelievable. He said, the room that I stayed in, the door, they don't even lock. The water just trickles. What there is, the shower. He said, I was there 7 weeks. I lived on Pepsi and the Snickers bar every day because I could not eat the food. A couple people ate it. They ended up being sick for 7 weeks. He said, everywhere you go, Mark, there's flies. And the parents, they do this thing to the little kids. They want the little kids to get a kind of darkness under their eye. Like we're kind of the opposite. We don't like bags under our eyes. So they put this black stuff around the kids, and it attracts flies. And the flies swarm around the little kids' eyes all day. And I tried to talk to a couple people and say, look, flies have disease. And no, it isn't going to change. He said, Mark, when I was there, I was hoping to build 700 homes. He said, we got about 7 built. He said, you know why? The people can work for 1 hour, primarily because they worship the cow, and they also consider the rat sacred, and the rat destroys 1/3 of all of India's grain every year. The poverty. Did you know that half of the world, 3 billion people, live on less than $3 a day? $3 a day. You and I are kings. And you see, the Bible tells us there's so much joy in our life when we're content, when we're just satisfied, instead of always dreaming about what we don't have. Now, I want to share with you tonight, one of the greatest ways that you can enjoy your life from this day forward is, number one, be really content with what you have. Count your blessings every day and thank God for your health, for your hands, for your arm. You know, sometimes when I go out and spend a little time with the Lord, it's all I do. I was thinking of this song. I think it's by Natalie Merchant, but I'm not sure who actually it's by. This thank you song. And I thought it was so interesting because when I've heard this young lady sing before, I always thought she kind of had a whiny, complaining voice. And then she comes out with this song. You know, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It goes on and on, thank you, thank you. And I thought, wow. You ever tried just singing that in your head? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Say thank you. Try thanking God sometime for an hour a day. See what happens to your psychological and emotional state of being. Thank you, Lord, I can see. Thank you, Lord, I have a nose to smell. Thank you, Lord, I can enjoy pizza or tacos or burritos or Chinese food. Thank you, God, for this apple, for this orange, for this grape. All these things that I'm telling you. I've been to other places in the world and I've seen people that don't have access to any of those things. We're so fortunate. You're so blessed. Practice contentment. Count your blessings, not your potholes. And thank God for all the many things that He's given to you. I want to close with this story. There's this man. It's a true story. He had 4 children. They were pretty poor. His children needed shoes. He was not able to buy them shoes. And then the oven broke down. So he went to a rich neighborhood where he saw in the classified ads there was an oven for sale. This rich couple had a nice oven for sale, and he had to prioritize. They had to have an oven so they could fix their food. So he was over, and they invited him in the home, and they sit down, and they begin to talk, and he begins to tell them his plight. You know, that, you know, my kids have no shoes, and the oven's broken down. The woman begins crying, and she gets up and leaves. And this gentleman thinks to himself, oh my gosh, you know, what have I done? So he says to the husband, he said, sir, I'm really sorry if I hurt your wife's feelings. Did I say something wrong? He said, well, he said, it wasn't so much that you said anything wrong. He said, we have a son who will never be able to walk. And we just wish to God that we needed to buy him shoes. Wow. That changes your perspective, doesn't it? Here's someone, you see, who was rich and he didn't even know it. His kids may not have had the best shoes, but they could walk. And they had their health. And here was a couple in this beautiful home with beautiful amenities and furnishings. But upstairs, where he couldn't see, was the apple of their eye, this little boy who was never going to walk. And they only wished to God that he needed shoes so they could buy it for him. Listen to me. Listen carefully. If you want to change your life, you can start right tonight by walking out of this place. And before you go to bed tonight, you thank God for every possible thing you can think of. We are a nation in therapy. Because we are so bitter, we are so resentful, and we whine, and we complain, and we grumble, and we live in the wealthiest place in the world. And most of us in this auditorium have wonderful health. You have access to unbelievable health care. In this nation, there's a doctor for every 150 people. I just read this the other day. If I'm not mistaken, in Afghanistan, there's one for every 50,000. We're so blessed. Let's pray. Next week, we'll finish this series. I'd like to invite you downstairs afterwards, where we have wonderful coffee and punch and bars for you. Come on down. We'd love to meet you. I'd love to get to know you. Father, we thank you tonight for your incredible goodness, for your incredible blessings in our life. Oh, God, I thank you. I know, Lord, these things speak to me. It's easy to dream about what we don't have. It's easy to covet our neighbors, whatever. We go to the malls, Lord, and we walk around, and all it does is breed a discontent, a disquietingness in us that says, oh, wow, I like that, and oh, man, I like that, and oh, I'd feel so much better if I had that. And it can never end, Lord. Oh God, we just ask you to help us to apply these incredible truths to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.